All right, hello and welcome back to the Killer Frogs Bullpen. This is our 11th episode. We are going to be talking about the Oklahoma State Series, TCU going up to Stillwater. I'm joined by Carson. Nate, we talked about how you're a mainstay. How are you guys today?
Doing all
Real
right.
well. Good. Better than TCU did this weekend. Let's go ahead and jump into it. I don't even want to mess around with it. Let's jump into it. TCU lost a series to Oklahoma State 1-2 on the weekend. They lost the Friday game 1-0, Saturday game, or won the Friday game 1-0, lost the Saturday game 3-6, and lost the Sunday game 2-6. Let's go ahead and Nate, give me your thoughts. Give me your thoughts on the weekend as a whole, though, just overall.
I mean, it looked like it was going to be a promising weekend. Starting off with Toley's great appearance, and even I wasn't too worried going into Saturday, as I felt like we were going to bounce back. At least our hitters were going to see the ball better, but that didn't seem to happen. And Klecker gave up his normal home runs that he does. Home run, sorry. And then on Sunday, I felt like we just were just by the weather and everything just messed up as a whole. And I feel like we could have got the series without the weather, but I mean they got to pick up some runs here and there, so it's got to happen. So
Yeah, Carson, what about you? What did you take away from this weekend?
I took away a lot of things, but guys, I wanted to be wrong. I really did. When I predicted that we were going to go 1-2 and Peyton Toley goes the entire game, complete game shutout, I was like, okay, this is going to be great. TCU's got the pitching. Hopefully hitters can go just be aggressive tomorrow and try and just get to the starting pitcher. But I was wrong. And I was also reminded of the fact that Brian Holiday is one of the best pitchers in the nation.
Yeah.
That's what I took away. I
Brian
also
Holiday
took away,
shoved.
yes, no, as he has a lot this year. I also took away that TCU hitters, I don't see a lot of resilience right now at all. Like, it's throwing away at bats, essentially, is what I saw.
Yeah, this wasn't a TC, like we've said every week. That TCU hasn't looked like the same team they have looked like. And it's like every week they get worse from that. It's like are you guys willing to say that this weekend series loss was worse than the weekend sweep to Oklahoma?
Yes. Yeah. I think
Yeah.
so.
Nate?
Yeah, I would agree. I would
Yeah.
agree.
Yeah, it was it was just weird. It wasn't a typical series for the Horned Frogs. Peyton Toley, once again, he's the only bright spot right now. And that bright spot is very bright from him, but everything else is very dark. Let's go ahead and talk about Peyton Toley's performance in that game one. TCU won 1-0. Peyton Toley, complete game shutout over 130 pitches. This is by far the deepest he had gone into a game. And honestly, the best he's looked all season. He had 15 strikeouts on the day, which actually pushed him to first. Oh, he was first place already, but he maintained his lead as leading the conference in strikeouts with 53 on the season. Carson, Peyton Toley, he's arrived. He's here. The lefty, the transfer from Wichita State. What'd you like from him?
I mean, it's heavy, heavy fastball from him. I mean, that was what was on the scouting report when he came to TCU, and that's finally what I feel like it should have looked like this entire time. Maybe not should have, but could have looked like this entire time. And right now, as far as I'm concerned, he's your ace. Like, he's the guy that you want on the mound on, I mean, game three of a series or something like that. But also, I don't think you can take away that Friday night start from him. I think he's been too good.
Yeah, Nate, what about you? What has Peyton Toley's performance done from this week, the week before? What does that install in you as a fan?
I mean, I like what I'm seeing, and he's earned my respect more than most. And it's really a bright spot for this Horned Frog team. And I think it's just going to continue to get better because I think he's gaining that confidence that he needs. You see him fueled up on the mound, and you're going to continue to see those strikeout numbers stay at that level, I think, because he knows that this team needs him to get that first win if they're going to win some series this season. And I think his fastball, I mean, they said it was the fastest he's thrown this season, sitting close to 97 miles an hour. I mean, that's pretty good. And I think that as the season goes, he's just going to continue to just smoke people.
So you mentioned kind of the feeling, which I'm sure you've seen the video of him after the final strikeout where he's like, he's getting pumped up. He's like, he's underlining the frogs across the chest right there. Like, that's the feeling that, like, I don't know. That's the feeling that every pitcher needs to just try and inject into their veins, I feel like. Because I feel like besides Tolley, Braden Sloan, and Luis Rodriguez, like, there's nobody else that gets fired up, really. I mean, I haven't seen a pitcher really get animated besides those three guys.
No one else has had a reason to really get fired up, if we're being honest here. I mean, you got some guys that have came in and made big pitches and, you know, big strikeouts when needed. But Peyton Tolley's kind of thrown the team on his back Friday. Definitely did. I mean, he had three walks on the night, and he had two walks in the night before on Friday
night. That was the biggest thing.
We've talked about it all season, was that his biggest struggle was that he allowed too many base runners. The stuff was there. The strikeouts were there. And when he allowed contact, maybe it was loud contact, but he had a rising fastball. Of course it was. But he's been cutting down on the walks. He threw over 130 pitches. He threw the team on his back. He allowed five hits. TCU only had two hits, which, speaking of TCU only allowing two hits, first and second inning, Nate, TCU had the bases loaded. Both times, no outs, both innings, came away with one run. After it happens the first inning, you're already feeling bad, right? After it happens two innings, what are your thoughts at that point?
I mean, it's just depressing as a team. And I think that set the game, the mode for the game. And I think that the batters just get down on themselves. And I don't think the lineup is, like, where it needs to be, like, organized wise. I think you're gonna have to figure out a way to get Logan Maxwell down there at the cleanup spot. I mean, it's, you love to have him up there getting on base, but like, nobody else can hit hardly. It is nice seeing Silva starting to hit again, and I'll give him props for that. He's getting those base hits. He's hard hitting the ball far. There was a couple times he almost took it out of the park, but it's very concerning that you're only getting a run out of that, especially when your pitcher is doing what they should do. You're not giving him any break out of it.
I do think Silva kind of getting his bat back will go a long way in the long run, just because I think that he's a veteran presence, I feel like, that TCU doesn't seem to really have right now. Because like a normal... I feel like a normal team, there's usually a guy that you point to, but on this team, I feel like I can point to like four or five different guys. And I wonder if that's kind of like, maybe it's something where, you know, Anthony Silva hasn't stepped up and said something, or Curtis Byrne hasn't stepped up and said something, but I don't know. The energy around this team feels weird right now.
Yeah. You know, we kind of talked about a little bit before, you know, the offense just not being able to hit with runners on base. And that was just kind of been the case all weekend long. And it was kind of just exemplified by the at-bats that are happening in certain situations. It honestly didn't even look like they were just pressing this time. It looks like they just kind of got outmatched every single time. And I get it. I get it. Baseball is a game of luck. It's a game of streaks. You know, it's a lot of different things. But when you're striking out, you kind of give yourself no chance to even make a play at getting some runs. Anything else you guys want to talk about on game one? I think the game one, really the only major storyline was Peyton Tolley doing what he did and the offense kind of being stagnant in that first to second inning.
Yeah, no,
that's all I got.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, Saturday. Let's go to move on to the Saturday game. Saturday, TCU lost 2-6 Klucker honestly had a kind of pretty good outing, minus the nightmare first inning. Or not first, fourth inning. TC was getting no hit by Brian Holiday until the eighth inning of that game. You know, Carson, you talk about Brian Holiday first. Was that a masterclass by him, or was it an aid by, you know, TCU's offense struggles, or was it a combination of both?
I think for the most part, I think it's Brian Holiday just being a stud. Like as much as we've been talking kind of bad about the hitting lineup, I think that his stuff is just too good. I do think that TCU threw away some opportunities to kind of get back into the game early on. But I mean, usually whenever I've always watched TCU hitters go up against like big time pitching, normally if that team gets like a 3 or 4 spot early in the game, TCU usually hits back and either ties it or gets within one run. I didn't see that in this game. And I think that was the majority of the difference.
Yeah. Nate, what about you? What do you take away from a game like that? 2-6, you're getting no hit until the eighth. It was honestly, it would have been a perfect game had Logan Maxwell not reached on a pass ball strikeout. What are you taking away from that game too, to either help you or that, hey, you know what? I want to come back and talk about this.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was everything I expected. I expected Holiday to completely deal. He's been doing it all season. I mean, he's been in the, I mean, he what was his ERA? It's really low.
Got a 1.87 now on the season.
Yeah. I mean, that's masterclass pitching. And standing at, correct me if I'm wrong, 5'11". I mean, he's throwing absolute gas, and he has so much movement on it. He has a nasty slider. I mean, yeah. I felt like our hitters were just couldn't figure it out. And he didn't seem to get tired at all. And he did a good job minimalizing all of his pitch counts throughout the innings. So, I mean, I'm not mad at it. I mean, it's something that we can look back for and say, if you make it to Omaha, you're going to have to face some good pitchers like this. So it's kind of concerning, but our hitting's off. But I think it was more of a masterclass from him.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Carson, Cole Klecker, four run first inning with 3.1 innings pitched, 7 strikeouts, three walks. How did you, I mean, was that a bad performance? I think it was honestly a good performance from him, minus the first inning. Past that, even in the first inning, I mean, that's kind of the story on Klecker. He gives up the home run ball.
So there were a few pitches in that first inning where I'm kind of just like, okay, that was a pretty good swing by that guy. And that happened twice in that first inning, I think. But I do think that some of his off-speed stuff could have been sharper. Past the first inning, that's vintage Cole Klecker. Like off-speeds are low in the zone. He's raising up that fastball where they can't get it. That's what we expected him to look like at the beginning of the season. But I want to go back and kind of touch on something. So I believe it was the second and third inning where TCU, despite having a base runner in the second, had an 11-pitch inning and then an 8-pitch inning from I'm sorry, I'm blanking. Oh my gosh. Brian Holiday back to back. Like when he has pitch efficiency like that, there's no way that he's not going to go 7 innings at that point. And that, I mean, that's what hurt them, because after he was out, TCU started hitting the ball because you actually got to their bullpen.
Yeah. I mean, speaking on that, like that third inning that you're talking about, Sam Myers flied out to right field on a first pitch he saw. Carson Bowen struck out swinging 3 straight pitches, and Peyton Chatagnier lined out on a, you know, 1-0 count. Like,
yeah,
we've talked about so much how TCU works into those deep counts, tries to draw the walk, you know, tries to get a hittable pitch. And we didn't see that. We didn't see that last weekend against Oklahoma. We saw it on the Sunday game when they beat Kansas. But we haven't seen that in 2 weekends now. I don't know if it's a change of philosophy based off scouting report. You know, we're not in the locker room to really know. But I just if it's not working, go back to it, you know, no matter what the scouting report says.
So, I mean, I just feel like it's, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like it's just trying to do too much. I mean, you've got guys that can't get out of the, get the ball out of the yard, trying to go yard every at bat. I don't know. That's just how I feel.
Yeah.
I would agree with you. I mean, I feel like people like Carson Bowen are trying to do what they can't do instead of just putting it in play.
So I think with Bowen, I think it's just a change in either maybe how he swings, or maybe it's a mental thing for him right now. Because last year, I mean, he was getting the ball out of the yard, but he was also, while he was pulling most of his home runs, he was also going opposite way into the gaps, down the line. He was getting hits like that. So I'm not really sure where that has gone, but I really hope he finds it pretty quick.
Yeah, TT has a lot to fix quick, and honestly, we're almost at the halfway point of the season. They, you know, there's not much time. Let's go to move on to the third game real quick, and then we'll circle back, talk about the whole of the series overall. Game three, Sunday, TCU lost 3-6. Luis Rodriguez, Nate, was the starter for the day. You called it in the last week's episode. He was the starter on Sunday. Unfortunately, an over 80-minute rain delay pushed him. He exited the game in the second inning, I believe, that had the bases loaded, one run allowed, and then a rain delay happened. We came out of the rain delay. Braden Sloan was the pitcher after that. And then it just kind of became a nightmare inning for the team. They allowed three runs in that third inning. It was the third inning. TCU jumped up to it, you know, a 2-1 lead going into that game or that inning, and then it just kind of fell apart. It just seems like that's kind of been the story, Carson, that it's at least one inning a game that TCU allows all their damage, and then other than that, the bats kind of get silenced. Have you noticed that?
So I call this the blow-up inning, and I've actually experienced it a lot in my life back in my pitching days. The blow-up inning is where you don't do anything right and you barely get out of the inning with your sanity. I was on back in, I think it was 2010, where I played on a team called the Peloteros. The entire summer, we did not win a game. We went 0-30-1. And despite one inning every game, we were really good. Like we would play defense, we would hit the ball, but there would be one inning where we would give up like six runs. And I think that's just what's happening here. And I think it's mental. I think it's either that so Sarlos has been kind of known to like step back and let his team kind of handle things on their own, because I think he believes that breeds kind of a better team dichotomy, I guess, team dynamic. But I think at this point, halfway through the season, I think he needs to say something if he hasn't already.
Yeah, Nate, you called the Luis Rodriguez start. You know, in those, you know, in that 2.2 2/3 inning that you saw from before he left, how'd you feel about him, you know, getting his Sunday start?
I like him in that role, and I'm going to continue to stand by him. I think he got cut short, and I think he would have done the Luis Rodriguez thing, so I think he'd have got out of that inning and continued to deal and at least give us 4 to 5 solid innings, and it would have allowed us to stay in the game. I feel like we were hitting the ball enough on Sunday to be able to win that game, but we just got too far down.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I do want to bring something up. That was a 5-hit performance. The most, is that the, let me double check that before I say that. Yeah. The most hits TCU got in the weekend, 5, on that Ooh. Sunday, three runs, the most runs they scored on the weekend as well. You know, I'm with you, Nate. Louis looked good. He gave up 3 straight hits, and then, you know, he allowed a run, got another strikeout, and then the rain delay happened. Braden Sloan got the strikeout to end the second, and then Sloan gave up 3 runs in that third. I really do like him there in that starting role after kind of seeing him. I think, you know, it just kind of allows for Braden Sloan to come in, and then you got that righty-lefty matchup that, hey, you know what? If they're a lefty-heavy team, let's go with Braden Sloan on the day. Let's start it out, see kind of what's going. I mean, There's not much to say overall on the weekend. I do hope Kyle Ayers is okay. He left Saturday's game in pain of his arm. I haven't seen anything online about how he did, but I do want to pull up a stat and let's talk about it on the weekend because, you know, I love my numbers. DC is now 2-7 in Big 12 play. They've held the lead in 7 of the 9 games that they've played in. Versus Kansas, 26 strikeouts, 23 hits. Versus Oklahoma, 23 strikeouts, 22 hits. Versus Oklahoma State, 39 strikeouts, only 11 hits on the weekend. Are we seeing a trend here? The strikeout numbers are way up.
It's not a good trend.
No, not the trend you want to see.
That's definitely something you don't want to see. I think just something needs to be said about hitting mentality, their approach at the play. Just do something to kind of change things up.
TCU's played 24 games, Carson. They've been out hit in 11 of them. Almost half their games, they're getting out hit. Which, yep. You know, you look at the record, 17-7, you're like, how does that add up? And it's just, hey, there's no more walks getting had, you know, a lot more strikeouts happening.
And you would think, when you look at that stat, you would probably think, dang, their pitching must be terrible. Where, I mean, it's kind of 50-50 at this point. It's whenever the pitching performs, the hitting doesn't. When the hitting does perform, the pitching doesn't. I mean, it's back and forth.
Yeah, Nate, I don't know if you were in here when we talked about it before, right before you jumped in, but in conference play, after 9 games have been played, TC only has 2 hitters hitting above 250 in conference play right now, and that's Logan Maxwell at a 313 batting average and Luke Boyers with a 316. Your big-name players, like your normal starters that you're used to seeing, Sam Myers has a 240 batting average, Anthony Silva, 214, Curtis Byrne, a 189, Ryder Robinson, a 172, Carson Bowen, a 172, Chase Brunson, a 138, Peyton Chatagnier, a 108 batting average. Who are you, one, more shocked by? And then on the other side, who do you feel more confident is going to end up turning it around in conference play?
I mean, I'm hoping, for the sake of us, I'm hoping Chase Brunson turns it around. Because it's good for his mentality, as young as he is, to get it fixed right now, because then you'll know how to fix it in the future if it ever happens again. The one I'm most concerned about is Peyton Chatagnier. You're a veteran guy, and you do this almost every year. I mean, he did this at Ole Miss. He'd go in these slumps. He'd pull up for big games, especially in College World Series and stuff, but he would go in these slumps for months, and it's very concerning. Because he's swinging the bat and he's putting contact on it. But there's other times where he looks lost on the plate and he's swinging at everything. It's almost like he's swinging at flies. So that's who I'm most concerned about. And I feel like Ryder Robinson did a lot better this week. He put some contact on some balls. And I feel like he's going to get it back together and we'll figure it out. But I'm looking forward to hopefully having Brody Green back in the lineup soon. But we'll see.
Yeah, speaking on the Brody Green part, before I pass it to you, Carson, is Brody Green did pull his groin re-aggravate his groin injury in the Friday warm-ups, which is why he wasn't in the lineup.
I was going to say, if he pulled it, we're in trouble.
No, yeah, he re-aggravated his groin injury that he's been dealing with during warm-ups Friday. Hopefully that means we see him back on Thursday in the series against Houston. But Carson, kind of asking the same question to you, but this time worded a little bit different. Who are you worried about the most right now? That is not, you know, Peyton Chatagnier, and you're looking at, you know, the averages I just said. Who worries you the most?
Carson Bowen, I think. I think last year, I think he looked like a pure hitter all around, and he was. And I do still think that he can be, but I think it just boils down to taking the long ball out of our repertoire. I don't think that's what we need to focus on right now. Last year, the majority of his base hits were up the middle or opposite field. And I've been preaching this for 3 weeks now, but stay with that. stay with the opposite field. I think he's a much more successful hitter that way.
Yeah, I do think, and I wonder how much of that, you know, the Carson Bowen struggles kind of played into this weekend. You saw Carson Bowen only caught one game on the weekend, and that was Sunday. Curtis Byrne was the Friday and Saturday catcher, and I wonder if some of that was like, hey, let's kind of just get him a little bit of an easy weekend, see if we can ease him into more hitting, you know, success. And I
wouldn't mind.
The team's there. Like, the team we have is the team we have, right?
Right.
I think they're okay.
I do think I would be okay with Bowen not catching if it meant if we saw results in his hitting. I think if we want to take one of these Big 12 series and just kind of reevaluate some of our hitters, I mean, that's fine by me if we want to sit them.
Yeah. Before we move on to some questions, you guys want to anything else specifically you guys want to talk about this weekend series?
Zach Coyer did a job on Sunday. He looks good.
Yeah, it was good to see Coyer back out there. He's had he had a little bit of struggles recently. 3 innings, 1 earned run, 5 strikeouts on the day. It's good to see him. Even been able this weekend. We didn't talk about him, and we kind of a little bit this season said maybe, you know, he had some short rest. Maybe, you know, he was struggling, but Abelt looked really good this weekend, and that's a key important to see. That's the thing. The pitching looked good this weekend, Nate.
Yeah, I mean, even Ben Hampton. I mean, the dude pitched like a stud, and I don't know why we took him out, but, I mean, he pitched like a stud, and he did some big things, so the pitching was there.
Yeah, the pitching was there. Pitching was there last weekend against Oklahoma, comparatively to the hitting. So that leads me into my questions, and I'm going to ask the same one that I've asked the last 3 weeks now. And I'm going to continue asking it most likely every week. Hopefully one time I can word this a little bit different. But once again, Nate, let's start with you this time. Once again, are we worried about the offense or the pitching more?
I'm still worried about pitching. I mean, I know the offense is not great, but it's easier to get your bats back. You can spend a lot of time at the machine. The pitching is what you got, and you really can't. And with Kyle Ayers, whatever his injury is, or if he can come back, that's pretty scary because you're one less arm down that he likes to go to. But I think our pitching always does better in heat of the moment, so I expect it to get better. But I want him to start using some more guys. I mean, we didn't see that many guys this weekend.
We saw Jack Schrager for once.
We finally saw him.
He was out there.
But, I mean, I would like to see some more guys, and let's continue to rotate things out so it doesn't get stale.
Yeah. Carson, what about you? Are we worried about the offense or the pitching?
Fine, JD. I'll switch my answer.
Thank you. Someone has finally switched their side.
I'm worried about the offense, okay? Something needs to be said because, like on paper, this is a team that should be a top 15 team. And hitting alone, like,
they're not even ranked anymore.
We should be very good at hitting. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know what you do to fix it, but I think just addressing it is first up.
Yeah. Finally, someone has said that they're worried about the offense. I have said I'm worried about the offense from the beginning. I have the utmost trust in Kirk Sarlos to fix this team, whether it's pitching or hitting.
I do too.
Yeah. But when it comes to pitching, I trust Kirk Sarlos to be able to fix that more because that's a lot more mechanical, advanced in, you know, being able to call pitches better, gain some pitchers some rest. When it comes to hitting, TJ Bruce is a mastermind. But TJ Bruce isn't in the batter's box. The players are slumping. And that worries me because they're all slumping. There's not one offensive bright spot right now that I can be like, all right, you know what? Maybe it just takes one guy hitting's like a disease. It spreads. When one guy slumps, they all slump. When one guy's hot, they're all hot. And it just worries me because if they're all slumping, that means no one can get hot. And if, you know, it worries me. Unless Brody Green comes back in the lineup, spreads that around a little bit, but we'll discuss that at a later date. Let's go on to the next question. Peyton Tolley's arrived. He's here. He's finally here. Nate, is Peyton Tolley the most important player on the team right now?
I would say he's the most valuable player, for sure. Now, whether he's the most important, I don't know, because there's a lot more pieces that we need to win games more than Peyton Tolley, because he's going to go out and at least pitch a decent performance. But right now, I think he's one of the biggest pieces in this TCU baseball regime. But I think our most important piece is Anthony Silva and him wanting to him getting this leadership and boosting these young guys to hit. And I think it's going to come from him because the coaches can't do it for him, like you said.
Yeah, Carson, Peyton Tolley in the lineup as well on Saturday. Is he the most important player on the team?
In the lineup?
He was in the lineup Saturday. And after throwing over 130 pitches on Friday night, getting the win, and when they were still in the lineup on Saturday,
so
does that make him the most important player on the team?
From a player safety standpoint, I'm fine with him DHing, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think that he should prioritize pitching. I would rather somebody DH. I would especially like want somebody to DH for him after he throws 130 pitches, because that's pretty mental, honestly. Yeah, I think I would rather him focus on pitching. But yeah, but to answer your question, I don't know that he's the most important right now. Well, the most important on the team, but I think he's the most important right now with how the hitting has been.
Yeah, I say the most important, and the reason I say that is because he was in the lineup Saturday.
Yeah.
And if he's the most valuable piece on this team right now, he's the most important player on this team because of what he provides on that Friday night start, then why are we batting him on Saturday after throwing 130 pitches? And the offense is already struggling. We don't need to throw in a new bat that's maybe that might pick it up, might not. You know, like you said, Nate, I'd rather see him pitch. I think it's more important right now. It's what the team needs. You know, we're talking about the hitting's going to come alive. It has to come alive. It's a slump right now. It's just, you know, this and that. Nate's still worried about the pitching. You finally switched to being worried about the hitting, Carson. If TCU can't get the pitching figured out and Peyton totally reverts to walking 7-8 guys because he's tired and he can't go deep in the games, we're going to start seeing major issues come up. I think he needs to be treated like the Friday night starter, and that is just focusing on pitching right now.
If he hits in some midweek games, and yeah, if he starts to show that he is a consistent hitter and that he can catch up with fastballs up in the zone, if he can lay off of the breaking stuff low, I'm fine with like giving him at bats. That's fine with me.
Yeah, I'm cool with the Sunday at bat. Get him some Sunday playtime if he wants. Maybe, like midweek, go for it by all means. But there's no reason on a Saturday after throwing 130 pitches. That's a lot.
Nate, going back to kind of what you said about Anthony Silva being the veteran presence, I feel the same way, but I would almost rather an outsider do it than Anthony Silva. I would almost rather have Peyton Chatagnier or Peyton Tolley even kind of get the team together, just get them everybody in one room and just start talking about stuff, start talking about baseball, start talking about stuff that's going on with the team, stuff that they can do better. Because that kind of talk can go a long way.
Oh, for sure, for sure. It's just got to be somewhere. It's got to be somewhere.
Yeah, just somebody has to step up and do it.
Well, and like you said, Carson, the team's talked about how Peyton Chatagnier is like the fire starter. He's the main guy in that clubhouse.
No, he shows the most emotion on the field.
Yeah, then you know, someone has to take the reins and just kind of go for it. But you know, speaking on that, Nate, are we in panic mode yet?
I don't think we're in panic mode. I'll hit panic mode when we hit one more series and we drop it, especially if we get swept. We're at the point where one series, you sweep the series, you're just back to, 5-7. That's 1 week of work. So I think we're fine and we'll bounce back. But I would like to see some guys be taken out of the lineup like Peyton Chatagnier as soon as we're a fully healthy team. Take him out, give him a rest, get his mind focused, move Ryder over there. We'll figure it out. But I feel like we just need to start taking some guys out and figuring it out, because we're doing better in the weekday than we are in the weekend. And I think that's because we have dudes like Micah Kendricks in there that are wanting to prove that they can play ball. So I think we just need to mix up the lineup a little bit.
Yeah, Carson, is the series over? Can I go full meltdown? Are we in panic yet?
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to use my Uno reverse card right now, and I'm actually going to flip this question on you guys. So assuming TCU does flip the season around, like we've been talking about the past 3 weeks, what series would you circle on the schedule to where, like, you have to have this series, right? You've got Houston this week, you've got Cincinnati next weekend, and then you've got Texas Tech for the next three series. After that, you have Texas. Personally, I think the deadline is Texas Tech. I mean, if you don't win that series at Texas Tech and you look like a completely different team, I do feel like it's time to hit the panic button. As of right now, though, I'm not in full panic mode.
Carson, I'm willing to hit the panic button after this weekend. Houston really? Just got swept by Kansas State. I know Kansas State's a good team, but Houston's not good. They're going to be the worst team that TCU has played this season in a weekend series.
Houston has the best pitching in the Big 12. I'll die on that hill. Mm-hmm. I'll die on that hill.
I'm willing to fight you on that one a little bit. We'll talk about that at a different time, though. The panic's this weekend. It's Houston. Houston has struggled. They're the by the new what is the new whatever the RPI equivalent is. Houston is by far the lowest ranked team on the RPI system that TCU played in a weekend series, and it is a conference play. Like Nate said, a sweep puts you back at 5-7. At minimum, they have to win the series.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. They just got to make improvements, and making improvements is winning that series. But I don't think it's the end all be all per se, but I think the Tech is our deadline. If we go in to Tech and put it to them, I think you're well on your way back to where you need to be. And I think that would give us enough energy to keep going.
You're looking at it this way. TCU wins their next two series, doesn't sweep. You're 6-8 going into Tech. 6-8. And then you still got Texas. Still got Kansas State. You still got West Virginia. But you're already still below 500. If TCU was to sweep the next two series, you know, hey, we're looking at a completely different ballgame. They can drop some series now. But if you know, you're 6-8 and you go into the Tech weekend, and then let's say they get swept by Tech, you're 6-11. Guess what? Now you got Texas. Guess what? Now you got Kansas State.
Yeah.
It just starts to get dicey. And I'm not saying that this weekend, if they don't sweep the series, then the season's done or in anything. But I'm just saying that a sweep this weekend boosts their odds of being able to lose a game later on.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to go perfect. No one does. Florida State just got swept by Clemson. No one goes perfect. But it increases their odds of being able to have faults later on down the season, right? You know, you talked about, Nate, move on to the next question. You talked about maybe it was you, Carson, talked about Carson Bowen sitting an entire series at first base, not catching. Maybe let's see if it gets them to catch fire. Nate, you talked about sitting Pate Chatagnier once we get fully healthy. Is there, you know, you guys talked about it, but who needs to sit? Maybe where do we need to see fresh faces? Where does TCU need to pivot either in the lineup or in the field or in the rotation that you guys want to see?
I mean, for me, I'm going to bench. It's hard to say. Chase Brunson, and I'm going to bench Peyton Chatagnier. Because I feel like those are your two leaders on the squad right now. And I think they need a mental reset. And I mean, Chase Brunson's been making errors out in the field. He's been making errors. He's not hitting it well. So he needs a mental reset. And I don't think he'll do that until he hits reality that, hey, I'm on the verge of getting benched. And same thing for Peyton Chatagnier. I think he needs a mental reset. I think he needs a weekend off. And I would like to see somebody like Ryder Robinson over there if Brody Green's healthy. Because, I mean, Ryder's not been looking too great. He'll knock the ball down at third, but he won't make the play. So I think a second base would be more up his alley.
Yeah, Carson, what about you?
So, Nate, you take out Chase Brunson. Are you throwing Sam Myers in center field?
Yeah, I'm throwing Sam Myers out there.
Okay, I was just making sure. Yeah, I do think it's Chatagnier. As much as I hate to take a veteran out of their role as kind of the guy that gives this team energy, I feel like even if it's just one game, I think take him out, just slot Ryder Robinson in. If we can get Brody Green healthy for this coming weekend. Yeah, I think he needs a little time off.
Yeah, I think unfortunately, I just think TCU's kind of in a tough spot right now as far as it comes for lineup construction. You've seen a few guys that maybe here and there, like maybe throw Jack Basir at third base and put Ryder at second if you want to give Shat the time off. But I don't want to lose Shat's veteran presence. It's kind of hard to bench a guy like that who's been there, done that for so long that if you don't put him on the line in the lineup, maybe you're prolonging his ability to be able to get hot and catch fire at the right time. Right?
How many games has Basir started at third?
I believe it's two. He started two. At third. He came out in one of them. There was one he played all the way through. It's two games that he started. He's gotten a few more starts at DH.
But at least Jack Basir's putting the ball in play. I mean, he's hitting it. He's not striking out. I mean, Peyton Chatagnier, what did you say is 108 batting average?
108 batting average, on base plus slugging of .371, a slugging percentage of .162, an on base percentage of .209, 10 strikeouts, 3 walks, 2 hit by pitches, 1-for-1 on stolen bases, and a fly ball rate percentage of 60.
I mean, dude, you can't get much worse from there. I mean, I like the guy too, but JD, you can't get much worse.
So I said to JD that on Friday night, Chatagnier is going 2-for-4 with a double and 2 RBIs. And I texted him that, or I said that. He texted me back. He said, "I can't wait for the fly ball to center field with bases loaded." And sure enough, second inning, he comes up with bases loaded and a shallow fly ball to center field. I turned off the game and then turned it back on because I was like, no, I probably need to watch this.
Yeah. It's one of those that, like, it's there. If he hits it 50 more feet, it scores a run. And I get it. It's the way he plays. He doesn't hit the ball on the ground. He never has, never will. And I respect that. But sometimes you got to take a different, you got to do something. Walk.
I think that's what the entire lineup is doing. I feel like we're just trying to do too much.
Yeah, we're doing too much with our eyes closed, I guess, with the strikeouts. I don't really know what's going on right now.
I think they're trying to pretend to be too much like last year's team that could slug the ball and hit it over the fence. It's not this team. There should be a base hit team. I mean, that you got a few guys, and I think the only one that's adapted to that, the only two people, is Logan Maxwell. And I feel like Silva's the same way. I think he's looking just to put it in play. But other than that, it's pretty rough.
Let me give Luke Boyers his flowers before we move on.
Luke Boyers as well.
Luke Boyers has been playing very well. And it's hard as a senior to be able to sit here and sit on the bench when you got replaced by a freshman and, you know, still kind of keep your head in the game. But the man just does everything you need to do. A great diving catch in right field. This is a team that is more than capable of going on a run and finishing up in Omaha at someplace 1-8 there. But until they kind of figure it out and get out of their own mental state, they're kind of stuck in this. And you're getting to the point where you're almost halfway through the season. Next week, we have the midway recap of the entire season. That is next week's episode. And you're getting dangerous close to, hey, you can't turn it around. It's too late, you know?
That episode is getting closer to being very short with each weekend.
Yeah, this weekend's a big weekend. Absolutely. Our midweek preview is literally 2 days from now because they start playing on Thursday night. It is a Thursday through Saturday series because of Easter weekend. Let's go ahead and talk about around the Big 12 right now. Let's go ahead and look at the standings right now. You got Kansas State in first place at 5-1, Oklahoma second and 7-2, Texas in third, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, Cincinnati, Texas Tech at 4-5 in conference play, TCU's 2-7 at the very bottom of the pack, Baylor 3-6, BYU 4-5, Kansas 4-5. Let's go ahead and talk about some weekend series that happened. I'll see which one surprised you guys the most and which one you kind of, you know, you kind of just catches your eye a little bit. Oklahoma State took the series win over TCU this weekend, 2-1. UCF 2-1 on the weekend over Kansas. Houston got swept by Kansas State. Texas Tech swept BYU. Texas took 2 of 3 from Baylor, dropped the Friday night game, and Oklahoma dropped 2 games to West Virginia. Nate, which one of those stands out the most?
I think Texas Tech sweeping BYU. I think it's impressive that they bounce back like that. Because it could have been very well like us that you dropped another series, the way they have been playing. So I think it's impressive, and I think that's the most impressive. But props to UCF as well. I feel like they're a silent but deadly team.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Carson, what about you? Which one kind of, you know, shocked you a little bit?
I think it's West Virginia taking 2 from Oklahoma. I mean, I feel like that Oklahoma offense, I thought, was just going to kind of roll right through West Virginia. Were they at West Virginia? I didn't see.
They were at Oklahoma.
Okay, that's why. Or, well, no. No, Oklahoma should have won that series. Because West Virginia is extremely dangerous at home. I didn't expect that.
A lot of teams played a doubleheader on Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturday, West Virginia took both games of the doubleheader from them. 9-5 and 8-3 after Oklahoma beat West Virginia 13-0 on Friday night.
Oh no.
Oof. Yeah.
Oh.
If we're gonna sit here and be honest, I think the one that surprised me the most on the weekend is Texas only taking 2 of 3 from Baylor. Baylor is currently not last in conference because it's helped by TCU, and that they took the game from Texas on Friday night, you know?
Embarrassing.
Yeah, it's one of those that wish I didn't have to say it aloud, but it is what it is. Anything else you guys want to talk on for the weekend series before we kind of close this thing out?
No, this is about how I expected the Big 12 to look like part of this way in. I know that Texas usually gets off to a slow start, but if you would have shown me this with TCU at the top, I would have been like, oh yeah. That's what the Big 12 baseball standings are. That's what they look like, and that's what they're going to be. But I didn't see this coming.
Now what if you were shown this with TCU at the bottom in let's say like December?
Ooh, it's a more difficult question, JD. I'm gonna. I'm not sure I even want to answer that. I don't even want to put it in the air.
Yeah. All right, let's go to wrap this thing up. We are going to record the Wednesday preview, or we're going to record the preview against Houston on Wednesday night. TCU has no midweek game this week. They get a little bit of a break, which is nice. That's why you saw Ben Hampton on Saturday. Nate, permanent mainstay now. Are you going to be joining us Wednesday night?
Yes, I'll be here.
All right, Nate will be here. Carson, I'm sure you'll be here Wednesday night. Thank you guys for joining us, and we will catch you on Wednesday.